who are here this morning. But let me ask you a very important question. Why are you here this morning? Why did you graduate from school this morning, ladies? Did you do it to bring yourself honor and glory? Did you do it so that people would stand up and give you a handshake? Did you do it so that people would recognize you and lift you up and say how wonderful you are? Why am I here this morning to preach God's Word? Am I doing it so that people will shake my hand as they go out the door saying, "Great job, Pastor"? Do I visit and do I do all these things so that people will say, "What a wonderful man of God you are"? Or am I doing it and are you doing it to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? This world is telling us and teaching us that it's all about us, what pleases us, what makes us happy. And if the church doesn't make us happy, if the pastor doesn't make us happy, if our spouse doesn't make us happy, if our parents don't make us happy, then we go and we find something else. It is enough of that. We need to stop all that garbage and we need to simply worship Jesus Christ and bring our lives to what they ought to be for His honor and for His glory. It's not about us, it's about Jesus Christ. And I'm so sick and tired of our young people and our older people and our middle-aged people and every gender and every generation saying, "What is it about me and what pleases me?" It's not about me. It is about Jesus Christ. Shay, Casey, I'm proud of you. 2 hard years of work. You've got a lot in front of you. A lot of things you're going to have to tackle and go through. But guess what? At least you've started. But you make sure that what you're doing and why you're doing it is not for your glory, but for His glory. Brothers and sisters, the reason we're living, the reason we're existing, the reason we have been saved is not for us, it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason you've been saved is to bring Him glory, not ourselves. Only Jesus. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. And my sincere, every Sunday morning, my sincere prayer is this: God, may they remember what Your Word says, not what I say. I can tell all kinds of funny illustrations and I can have funny stories and talk about my family and all these situations, and that's all well and good. But when you walk out of here this morning, I want you remembering what God said, not what I said. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, we're going to be there in just a moment. Here's an old illustration. A man was walking by a construction site, and they were building a massive church. And they've been working on it for several days and weeks. And as he was walking by, he saw a man sitting there and he had a grumpy look on his face. And he was working on a wall with the bricks and the mortar and everything else. And he stopped and he asked the man an obvious question, says, "What are you doing?" And the man with the look on his face of grumpiness said, "I'm building a wall." As he continued around the corner, he came across another young man who was building on the same building. And he asked them the same question, "What are you doing?" And the man with a look of indifference on his face said, "I'm just building a building." But he came across the last corner and he came across and he saw a young man with a smile on his face, working on the same exterior. And he asked the man the same question, "What are you doing?" He says, "I'm building a massive place to bring honor and glory to God." See, all three of them were doing the same thing, but all three of them didn't have the same perspective. Why are you living? Are you just marking time? Are you just occupying space until you die? But are you here instead to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ? Why am I up here sharing God's Word? Why am I up here doing what I do? So that I can get paid? Absolutely not. I am up here because I want you to see God. I want to point you to Jesus Christ. I want you to honor and glorify Him. That's why I'm here. What about you?
1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 31, it says this, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Underline that, mark that, highlight that. Please emphasize that. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Drive your car for the glory of God. Tend your garden for the glory of God. Clean your house for the glory of God. Shop for your groceries for the glory of God. Change your children's diapers for the glory of God. Come to church for the glory of God. Love your spouse and your family for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God, not for yourselves. You've been put here for a reason. You've been put here for a specific mission in life. You're not just a feather floating through the air. Bring glory to God. Now, why did Paul say this? Where did this come from? Well, let's look at the very first verse of this chapter. We're going to go down through here. I want to point some things out. But more importantly, I want us to see what he's trying to teach us and help us to understand here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Here's what he's talking about. He says in verse number 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren," he's speaking to fellow Christians. And if you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you like taking notes in your Bible, write your name right there. He is speaking to you and he's speaking to me. This is a message from God through Paul to you and I this morning. This is not just an inert piece of work. It's not just a bunch of words on paper. This is God's love letter to you and to I. And here's my question for you. Do you even care? I hope you brought your Bible with you this morning. If you didn't, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. You can follow along with what I'm saying, what God's Word's saying. So Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, fellow believers, I would not that you should be ignorant." He says, "I want you to understand." He says, "I want you to be learned. I want to teach you." He says, "I want you to understand this, how that all our fathers," talking about the Jewish race, about what was going on, he says, "they were under the cloud and they all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ." He says, don't you remember how God brought our people out of Egypt? Don't you remember how they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Don't you remember how he brought them into the promised land? He says, listen, they were all together, and that one that followed them, that one that provided for them, was the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, who's giving you the breath that you're breathing right now? Who's pumping the blood through your body? Who's the one that's giving you the vision? Who's the one giving you the ability to hear? Who's the one that gives you the ability to eat and to taste and to enjoy life? Who's the one that gives you the ability to hold that precious baby? Who's the one that gives you the ability to even do your job? Who's the one that gave you the ability to even get your degree? Who is the one that did it? It's God and God alone. And Paul's saying, listen, don't you remember? I need to remind you about what God did for you. How is it that we forget so easily? How is it that we forget about what God did for us in the past? I don't want to go through my teenage years again. If you are above a teenager, how many of you want to live your teenage years again? Not me. I don't want to go to middle school again. I don't want to go through that. I don't want to deal with all those issues and things of life. But isn't it amazing that sometimes we wish for the good old days? I don't want the good old days. I want to do what God wants for me in the future. And Paul says, remember what God did for you, but don't dwell there anymore. Look what else he says. Verse number 5, he says, but with many of them, those who went through this, God was not well pleased. for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Even in the group that God brought forth, even over the millions of children of Israel, as God provided for them and took care of them and gave them safe passage, there was a group of people that didn't care. They were just hanging on. They were just existing. They dwelt with the people. And they did everything everybody else did. But inside, they really didn't care. Inside, they didn't appreciate what God did. Inside, they really didn't understand what God was doing because they didn't want to. They had the same opportunities. They had the same things. But they didn't want God. Do you want God this morning? Do you really want God to speak to your heart? Do you really want God to empower you? Do you really want what God has for you? Or are you just marking time until it's time to go home and eat lunch? That's what they were doing. They were just simply hanging on to get across the river. And says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And verse number 6, pay very close attention to this. He says this, now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as were some of them. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. How many of you know how many that is? 23,000. Raise your hand. That's 23,000 people in one day. See, they were playing the game. They looked good. They didn't smell very good, but they were Jewish people. They experienced the same blessing that everybody else experienced. They got the same manna. They got the same direction. They had everything else. They had the same bloodlines. But they did not believe and trust God. And God knew it. And He gave them the same opportunities everybody else had. But when it came time, when it got down to the brass tacks, when it came time to do right and to choose right, they chose wrong and they didn't care. Brothers and sisters, time for game playing is done. If you're sitting here this morning and you talk the talk and you pretend and you smell good and you look good and you're everything else, but you're not truly saved, it's going to be too late one day, and you're going to look around and you're going to say, I wish I would. God knows our hearts. He knows my heart. He knows if I'm really real. He knows if you're really real. He knows if you really belong to Him. These people were playing a game. They were lusting and committing fornication and going against what God wanted them to do. They were liars and they were thieves. And God said, I see your heart. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. Now, wait a minute. What about this loving and merciful God that you talk about all the time, Brother Brian? What about the grace of God? Oh, it's there and it's genuine. Well, so what about that? Well, God gave them the same chance He gave everybody else. And He's giving you the same chances He's given me. And He's giving the same chance to our community. But brothers and sisters, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? What are you going to do with your degree, Shay? Casey, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with what God's given to you? Brothers and sisters, oh, I'm going to make money. Man, I'm going to make money, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go on vacations. I'm going to buy me a boat. I'm going to buy me a vacation house, and I'm going to do all these things, Brother Brian. Man, and I'll be at church every once in a while, maybe, and maybe I'll drop a 10 spot as the plate comes by every once in a while, and maybe I'll do those things if I have time. but I'll be too busy making money, and I'll be too busy going on vacation, and I'll be too busy enjoying. When I get old like you, Brother Brian, then I'll serve God. The book of James tells us we're not promised tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. Is there anything wrong with having those things? No. Invite me, would you? No. Nothing wrong with them. But when they become our gods, that's where the wrongness is. If we're so busy working, so busy doing to keep up with them, and not doing what God wants us to do, they become our gods. Verse number 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Wow! How many of you are glad God doesn't destroy us every time we murmur? What's murmur? Griping. Complaining. You know, when you're serving dinner to your children and they look at it and go, I don't like that. Kids, how many of you are glad you don't die every time you say that to your mom and daddy? I don't like that. That's what griping and complaining is. Murmuring. I don't like what you're wearing, Brother Brian. I don't like the music that we play. I don't like what you're preaching. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like how my boss does. I don't like how my wife does. I don't... Murmuring and complaining. That's ungrateful. Here's you a brand new car. The smell and the engine and everything is, get in. I don't like the color. That's what we do to God, though. I don't like it, God. Couldn't you have done better? Murmur. Verse number 11. He says once more, now all these things happened unto them. Why? For examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon the ends of the world are come. He says, listen, all these things took place, and I'm telling you all about them so that you learn from them. There's a lot of things I don't know how to do. And when I was growing up, we didn't have this magical thing called YouTube. Now, if you don't know how to do something, all you got to do is Google it. And they'll show you how to do it the right way or the wrong way. And you get example after example of how to do certain things. And I try to do that and I still mess it up. There's a project I'm getting ready to start working on, and I'm going to mess it up. I know it is. I'm going to try my best to learn, but you know what? I'm not going to do it right. And that's okay. But I can pull it up and find an example of how to do it. You want to know how to live your life for the Lord? You want to know how to bring honor and glory to Him? Here it is! Learn from what they did in the past. Don't repeat what they did. Stop your murmuring. Stop your fornication. Stop your adultery. Stop your lying and your cheating and your stealing. Stop being ungrateful. Because if you don't, judgment's coming and it's right there. Well, that's for everybody else, Brother Brian. It's not for me. I'm the one in a million. I'm the only one that's not going to be affected by this. May I tell you, statistics show that one out of every one person is going to die. How many of you understand that? Well, I'm the one that's not going to happen. I'm immortal. I've been around for thousands of years, and I'm going to continue to be around for thousands. Yeah, you look it too. I'm just teasing. No. This word applies to all of us. Look at verse number 12. Wherefore, Because of this, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest you fall. Listen, listen to it. Take heed to it. Pay attention to it. We were coming back from Hayesville last week, last Saturday. And we had picked up some of the boys. They were at a spiritual retreat, and we were coming back from Hayesville. And as I was going down the road, there was a state police officer. And the state police officer was catching speeders as they were driving through. Jason Boston was back behind me a few car lengths. I didn't see him, but I knew he was back there. And so I got on the telephone, and I said, "Jason, don't put your foot into the gas tank like you used to do. There's a police officer up here, and if you speed, he's going to catch you." He could have said, "I don't care what you say. I'm going to speed, and I dare him to catch me." Why did I warn him? Because I want him to understand not to speed. Brothers and sisters, why am I giving this to you? Why am I taking the time to even share God's word with you? Because I don't want you to have to go through what they went through. Now, I don't know if your family's like mine, but every time I sit down to talk to my kids about something, and I'm trying to tell them something they don't like, their eyes just kind of glaze over. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm getting that look from some of you right now. All right, lunch is getting cold, Brother Ryan. Brothers and sisters, I don't want to leave a legacy. I want you to know the name of Jesus. Verse number 13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." He says, listen, there's nothing that's going to come up, there's no situation going to come up that God's not going to provide a way of escape for you. You don't have to commit adultery. You don't have to commit fornication. You don't have to lie. You don't have to steal. You don't have to play games. Guess what? God gives you a way out of it. But do you want it? These people knew the right and wrong, but they didn't take it. Brothers and sisters, a payday's coming. Do you even care? "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And I speak as to wise men, judge you what I say. This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, and we all are partakers of the one bread. Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they eat of the sacrifice partakers of the altar? And what say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with the devils." He said, listen, isn't the when you do communion, is that not representing the blood of Christ? Is it not representing the body of Christ? He says, the Gentiles, they eat bread and they worship their idols. He said, when you have communion, when you have the grape juice and the wine, when you do those things, you're doing it for the body of Christ, not the idols. But don't you know that you can't sit between them? Don't you know you can't be part of the world and part of God? You can't do it. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, verse 21, and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can't do it. So look at me. Why are some of you trying to do it this morning? You're playing. You're sitting the fence. You got one foot in the world, Monday through Saturday. And when Sunday comes, you got just enough on Sunday. It ain't gonna work. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Here's verse 23. This is not popular. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. There it is, Brother Brian. That's what I've been looking for right there. Paul is saying, I can do whatever I want to do. I have freedom in Christ to eat what I want to eat, go where I want to go, be where I want to be. There it is. Yes, there it is. They are. It's right there. I knew it, Brother Brian. You'd get to it eventually. But does it edify the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it bring Him glory? Does it point people to Him or point people to you? Does it bring you pleasure or does it bring Him glory? Yes, you can do what you want. You can go where you want. You can eat what you want. You can drink what you want. God's given us that freedom. But let me ask you a question. Who's it about? You or is it about Him? That's what it's saying. I'm not going to give you a list of rules and regulations, brothers and sisters. But it's about time we stop doing what we do for our pleasure and start bringing Him glory. If you belong to Him, live for Him. Stop making excuses. I sprained my little toe, Brother Brian, so I can't serve the Lord and teach Sunday school. Well, how long did you sprain your toe? About 5 years ago. Well, Brother Brian, I was working with teenagers, and you know what? One of the teenagers actually frowned at me. How long ago did that happen? Oh, about 15 years ago. But I can't get over it. I can't go back and work with them no more. Well, Brother Brian, you know what? I used to serve faithfully in the choir. But you know what? One Sunday, Brother Danny made me move closer to the other choir members and embarrassed me. So you know what? I'm not going to sing up there no more. Well, how long ago that happened? About 25 years ago. Now, of course, I'm being facetious, but you know what? There's some of you in this very room, that's the excuse you use for why you don't serve God anymore. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant and gotten a hold of some bad food? Come on now, be honest. Keep your hands up. All right. How many of you have gone to a restaurant since that time? Didn't you learn your lesson the first time? Didn't you swear off restaurants at that very moment? No. So then why in the world have you stopped serving God? Because you got hurt one time. Because the preacher didn't preach what you wanted to preach. You didn't sing what you wanted to sing. You got your feelings hurt. Who are you serving? Him? Or you? Verse number 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man's another's wealth. In other words, do what pleases for others, brings glory to God. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles that eat, ask no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. So in other words, they would go to eat. And they would eat food knowing that it was offered to idols. And he says, listen, when you go to eat, if it doesn't bother you, go ahead. But remember, God created it. And if you're going to eat worshiping devils, don't eat it. But if you're going to go spend time with somebody who's not saved and you're going to eat and you don't pray, it's okay. Just remember that God made it and you bring Him honor and glory. You don't sit there and say, well, was this offered to idols? Because if it was offered to idols, I ain't going to eat. You high and mighty. That's what he's saying. Because then you're lifting yourself up. Here we go now. But if any man say unto you that this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the Lord, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He says, listen, if you know that it's done, don't eat then. But you don't have to make a big deal of it. This is what I tell our teenagers and I tell my children. If you go to a party and there's going to be alcohol there, don't go. If there's going to be drugs, don't go. Adults. Well, I'm past all that. No, you're not. Don't go. Wait a minute. You can't tell me what to do. Well, let me ask you a question. Why are you going? Why? See? Is it pleasing God? Is it pleasing you? Verse number 29. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I have give thanks? Verse number 31, here's the context of it. Because of this, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Here it is. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many. Why? That they may be saved. Bottom line, why do you do what you do? Why do you come to church? Why do you even live and breathe the breath that's around you? Why are you doing it? So that people can talk great things about you. Why'd you get your degrees? Why are you working? It's either for you or for the glory of God. It's either for your benefit or so that others may be saved. When I began to serve God in the ministry, I had to make the decision that I was going to give up my Air Force career so that others may be saved. I went from making $25,000 a year to working at Winn-Dixie for $4.35 an hour. I gave up all my benefits because I wanted to do what God called me to do. And you can tell, I haven't missed any meals. Look at me. We're done. Please, answer this question to yourself. Why do you do what you do? So that people lift you up and say how great you are, so that you make money? Or is it to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's my question. Can I show you one more verse? I'm going to do it anyway. Go to Colossians, real quick. Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. Paul writing to a whole different group of people, but the same message. Colossians chapter 3, verse number 17. Here's what he wrote. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. There it is. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Do it for the glory of God. I'm proud of you, Shay. Casey, I'm proud of you. Good job. Wonderful. Now take your degree and use it for the glory of God. Mamas, daddies, husbands, wives, children, I'm proud of you. Keep up the good work. You're here. But do what you do for the glory of God. Be the best spouse you can be. Be the best son, best daughter, best brother that you can be. For the glory of God. And all God's people said, let's stand together this morning.
Heads bowed and eyes closed. Time of invitation. I'm not going to put you on the spot because I don't want you responding to me. But if the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart and you need to do business with Him, the altar is open. You can do it here. You can do it where you're standing. But whatever it is, you do what God's told you to do. I've given you God's Word. You now have the responsibility of obeying or disobeying. What are you going to do with it? Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. Thank you for your mercy and grace. I love these people. And I thank you for the privilege of giving your word to them. Please forgive me for sounding harsh because I don't intend that whatsoever. I'm not angry. My heart is so burdened because we've been living according to what the world dictates to us. We're so caught up in the things of the world. I'm thankful that they're here this morning. I'm thankful that your word is here this morning. But more importantly, I'm thankful the Holy Spirit is here this morning. You do what needs to be done in my heart, in the heart of these precious folks. Please now, God. Please, God, make a difference in our hearts today. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I invite you to come to the altar if you want to come. I'll pray with you if you need be. If not, just do what God tells you to do today.